Welcome to Sports Foul Mouse. I'm Morgan Barclay.
I'm Alexi Lawless.
That's not true.
No, I am. I'm here.
I don't know who that is.
With my mustache. It's amazingly plump.
Also known as Jay Devlin Papernick.
Recently
led his team to a tie in the San Fran versus St. Louis game.
Do you think professional sports should end in a tie? Like, they're getting paid money. It's like third grade girls t-ball.
No, I think you should at least do a coin flip. They've settled several WNBA games that way.
Well, what did you say earlier? That they should, like, man people on the goalpost?
No, I said earlier, I said what should happen in a tie situation like tonight. So St. Louis versus San Francisco. Tie, obviously, Donovan McNabb, extremely confused by the whole process.
Terribly confused.
So what I think they should do is they should just line up the kickers and put their best tight end, tight roping tight end, in the field goal, like actually in on top of the field goal, standing on it, not dunking on it.
Okay.
And with one of those man on the wire, like balancing beam things. And so they basically get five attempts with a tight end from the other team who can block the field goal attempts.
I'd like to switch that.
So it's like soccer.
But it is like soccer, but I think it shouldn't be.
And everybody,
he's blocking it, though. I think they should be trying to knock him off, like American Gladiator style.
Then someone could get hurt, and Roger Goodell could find that person hits the ground.
It's
there's no padding down there.
A lot of concussions.
That's fair. That's a fair point. But there shouldn't ever be a tie in professional sports ever.
That's why hockey is on strike and will probably never.
How many
tie in sports?
How many overtimes did Syracuse go through a couple years ago? What is it, six or seven?
No, against UConn in the Big East Finals.
Right. Like,
amazing.
That was amazing. Right.
Incredible.
Why not more? Why not more sports?
You're playing football. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You're only lining up every 40 seconds to make a play.
Right.
I think I saw something years ago that said in an actual 60-minute football game, there's only like 5.5 minutes of real action that
right.
goes on.
Right. Like, you figure a play
you
lasts play
like
six.
You can't play another overtime for me? Like,
right.
Come on.
Or, I mean, why constrict the whole system to a time limit once it's overtime? Just like until someone has more points. Every coach ever says this, right? Time and score. I learned this from B-Dub, right?
Yeah.
So what do they teach you? You need to know the time and score during any game that you're playing in. So like once time's not an element, but the element is like you just might tie. Like I don't think anybody really knows what to do.
They definitely look confused at the end. Like, St. Louis was like, should we try? Yeah, well, I guess we should try and score because we stink and this would be a great win.
Right. Or we
but
could just
San
get
Francisco
that.
San Francisco have done the same thing. They probably would have been like, well, a tie is not a loss.
Right.
It's, you know, there's definitely strategy to be played at the end
of the
game.
Well, I mean,
Ricky
Bobby said it, and his dad said it best, right? It's like, if you're not first, you're last. And if you tie, then you're kind of like 1.5. So you're like not second, but you're not first.
I heard a great quote. Tying is like kissing your sister. And unless you're little Jimmy Kornikova, that's not a good thing.
Wow. All right. So you're just getting incestuous on us.
Well, hey.
With that hair.
We have West Virginia listeners, too.
With that hair, right. You can get however you want to get. We have a lot to get to. So, you fantasy football enthusiasts out there, it's week 10. We just saw a lot happen. You may have won or lost your game.
Big offensive week this week.
Big offensive week. You know, you're probably like maybe waiting until the Monday night game. What, there's one decent team out there. You got a lot of Steelers going.
No one from
KC.
Pittsburgh KC is not a great fantasy football week, Monday night game.
I think I'm going to give you guys a couple strategy notes, though. All right. So things that people don't talk about on all these fantasy shows, because I listen to a lot of them, and it just bugs the shit out of me. Who to start, who to sit, PPR, no PPR. Here's a couple tidbits. All right. When you're playing your guys, like in the morning or night, like look at the times of day they play. And like if you have a flex spot, keep that open. So if you have a guy playing at like 4 p.m. Eastern or a running back and a wide receiver or Monday night, Sunday night, like keep that flex spot open. If you have a guy playing early, don't play a wide receiver in your flex spot because then it forces, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So keep that flex open. That's why they call it flex because it means flexible in Spanish.
El flexible?
Yeah, el flexio.
Quick gambling note, all right, real quick for you, anybody listening.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have to qualify anything with me.
Take the LA Galaxy in the second half of this semifinal game against
this
Houston.
Isn't a live podcast, so you know. Like,
oh,
no
it's not live? Okay,
no.
Well, I'm making a prediction that they're going to
open
the floodgates and Robbie Keane is going to score about like 3 goals here in the second half.
Does David Beckham still play for the Galaxy?
He does. I believe. Does he still play for UDUS? Yes. Or for the soccer people here in the studio audience.
Or for the universe in general.
He does.
That's good to know. So that's the one little tidbit on the fantasy front. Also, if you have a good record, like if you have a really good record in the league, go after guys, whether it's a bidding system or not. Like, keep upgrading your team and stacking your team. And here's what you do. You do it because you don't want other guys to play. Like, for instance, in our league, or one of the leagues, or one of the 48 leagues that I'm in. Like, if I see Carson Palmer just, like, floating on the waiver wire, like, I'll pick him up. Just because I don't want someone else to play Carson Palmer.
That's a Morgan Barkley move. You've been doing that move for about.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Donovan McNabb whatever his name is. McFadden's out. Goodson's out.
See what your opponent might go after.
Right.
Especially as the season comes down the end. Because everybody else is. You got to figure the first 6-7 weeks, everybody's going after players. By the 8th or 9th week, people have dropped out and they don't give a fuck anymore.
Right. Or they have to get crafty because they have to, like, get wins and they got to get rid of guys. And I get that because I have one league where I'm doing
terrible.
Only half
the league is picking people up after week 9.
Right.
The other half.
So if you have a good record, and like I have Andrew Luck and Matt Ryan in the league, and I was like, oh, I got Mike Goodson. I'm going to get rid of him and pick up Carson Palmer just because I don't want to play against Carson Palmer in week 14 in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's true. And in these leagues where you get like a budget to pick up free agents, what are you saving your money for? Spend it. We're in a league like that. You get $500.
Right.
Like 90% of the league still has over $400 left. What are you saving?
That's what I say in fantasy in general is like, know the rules of your league, like PPR, non-PPR, like Amendola guy, definitely you want in PPR. Heartline guy, you want in PPR. 9 catches today.
What do they have in common?
They're white.
They're white guys.
Yeah, they're white guys. Yeah. They're not black. So they have to be
whoa.
Really...
Whoa.
Whoa. What? Is that racial?
No, it's not racial. But let me ask you... All right, so like, white guys are always possession receivers. Off the top of your head right now, you're a...
Steve Largent.
Give me...
He actually got open. He get deep, open deep. Quite. Yeah,
Victor Cruz, possession receiver or not?
Possession receiver? No. I mean, like, I think he's both.
Name one African American,
but he does salsa
receiver.
Though. I mean, he's athletically. I mean, he's going to win Dancing with the Stars someday.
Oh, absolutely!
I mean,
it's
come
been
on.
Forecast if that show's still on the air, Victor Cruz is a stone.
But he had
lock.
A 3-touchdown game. He had that one big catch over the top. Like, he can get open deep, and he had a lot of big plays last year. He's a big play threat. Strangely, Calvin Johnson
sure.
this year can't get in the end zone. He looks like Mike Williams from the Seahawks.
He got in today though.
He did, yeah, well, yeah, finally. Time. But honestly, like, he keeps getting...
for 207.
He's going down like a tight end, though, right before the end zone. I don't know what his deal is, but he dropped one in the end zone a couple weeks ago against the Seahawks, which actually hurt us because we had left more time on the clock. We came back and won that game.
All right, whatever. Seattle talk yet. All right.
Save it. Point is, all right, so we're talking about two white receivers.
Yes.
Amendola, who I think...
Wes Welker.
Which, like I told... I said this earlier. Amendola, great name for a feature film as a horse.
I'm not really. I don't understand it.
You don't get that?
I don't get it.
You don't. If you. If you were
a horse named Amendola, I don't know what
an
Amendola
in the Kentucky
is.
Derby, you wouldn't.
What
bet
is Amendola though?
I don't know.
What
it's
is.
The name of a horse. It's a really good horse name.
Yeah, you know? But it's like it's not like it's an like Secretariat or it's like, you know,
Smarty Jones, Big Browns. But like Amendola,
what's
you know,
Amendola.
He's kind
what
of a sleeper.
It?
He's
is
a sleeper
it,
horse.
Is it like a nut that grows on a tree?
No,
somewhere?
He's a horse.
Oh, this Amendola is
no Amendola.
Latte is
oh,
so
Amendola
scrumptious.
Placed again.
I'm not in on that one.
You're not in on that one.
F minus on that one.
All right, F minus.
Man,
that's worse than F.
D plus.
All right. Just so you guys know, here's some things that are going to happen later. So we have a new segment that I made up tonight called. A Jay Quiz Rogers, so it's where I actually quiz Jay, and he doesn't know what the questions are, and then we do the over or under on how many he'll get right out of 10. We also have a special guest, Brandon Brooks, who was a former Olympian. He still is a former Olympian. He won a medal.
Now he's a home decorator.
Yeah, he loves to interior decorate random apartments in his vicinity.
He does. He's a man of many talents.
What else we got on tap? We have a kind of a breakdown of like some of the brands out there that like have gone overboard where you can't even get the original. So like it's like I just want Wheat Thins.
We went to the store just now. You couldn't get Ruffles, regular Ruffles.
Yeah, you
Ruffles.
Can't find just
everything had a flavor on it.
Yeah, I can't just get Ruffles. I got to get the cheddar version.
We'll call that the
or
old
like
man
the jalapeno version. Just give me the regular Ruffles. Like, old it's
man
frustrating.
Ran. The old man ran the right. day. Where you just talk about the old days.
Yeah, it's like, can I just get a Diet Coke not with the lime infused in? Like, I know these brand people are getting all, like, bored with their jobs. So they have to come up with more and more and more expensive. There's going to be, like, a Corona Light Hard Ice 6.6. Like, it's not even going to be Corona anymore. Which I'm never going to find the regular Corona, and it's going
to
suck.
It's awful. I'm glad I haven't procreated yet, because I would never want a child to be raised in the world that will be around in 20 all right, years.
Let me ask you this. Right. Name the basketball player, and this is a tease to a J-Quiz Rogers later. Name the basketball player with the most kids.
Calvin Murphy.
Got it. How is many kids? Yeah, that's correct.
Calvin Murphy has 12 kids.
No.
11.
Nope. More.
More? 13?
14.
He has 14 kids by how many? 8 women.
I don't know the women count. I know that Sean Kemp has
nine kids.
He has 9 kids with 8 women, and he has a nice little bar in downtown Seattle now, and he's doing quite well for himself.
I saw him on a Food Network show.
No, you did
Sean
not.
Sean Kemp or something, where he was like, his restaurant is like super,
The Cleveland version or the Seattle version?
I don't know. I think it was a national food show where Sean Kemp's restaurant, he's like a restaurateur now.
I thought he would be like a food truck guy by
now. There's nothing stranger than watching the Rain Man talk about a nice Pinot Noir.
Is that what he was talking about?
He was talking about a buttery chard to go along with some kind of baked ham.
By the way, all Chardonnays are buttery and they taste like pee.
Not a white wine thing. Yeah. That's for another podcast.
Well, the point is, all right, so this is the first thing. So we talked about, I'm going to quiz you later.
Yeah.
We're just going to play this straight up right now. 8-on-8. If you guys were Thanksgiving just around the corner, God bless you, right? So
a lot of thanks.
Yeah, a lot of food. It's a great time. Everyone loves Thanksgiving. You know, if you're not giving, you're not a person. So what we decided is that if we were to hold our own turkey bowl, so let's just take Jay and myself as flag football players out of the equation. We're just picking a team, like a player coach. Like, I know Jay likes to play quarterback, so he may not – who he actually picks up.
Am I on the team? Yeah, I'm drafting a team around me.
Yes, you're drafting a team around you. So you can pick up 8 total guys. So the game is this. Basically, Jay and I are going to act like we're team captains, and we have every NFL player at our disposal.
Okay.
So we show up, coin flip. Jay, we'll just say you called heads. It was heads. You get to go first. You get the first pick overall. You got to pick up 8 guys. So there's going to be 3 in the line at all times. So 2 guys hiking it and two guys – or 1 guy hiking it. That would be weird. 2 guys hiking it? That's weird.
That would be weird.
So 1 guy's hiking it, two blockers that have to be blockers. So 3 guys in the line. And then after that, it's you and then 4 other skill positions. So a guy in the backfield, whatever. So first pick overall in the NFL, you get whoever you want. And remember, it's flag tackle. So it's basically like full contact flag tackle. We can call it tackle, but then guys will get hurt and we'll get fined by Roger Goodell.
Because when you're drafting, you have to think two-way, too. You have to draft guys that will be able to guard as well.
Right.
You're playing two-way old-school Chuck Bednar.
But, I mean, there's so
football.
Many good – I mean,
oh,
like,
let's just get into it. Let's draft right. 5 guys. Let's do 5 guys. Us and 5 dudes. All right.
We'll take the linemen out of it.
Linemen
are out. Because no one cares about the linemen.
Who's got first pick? Me?
You got first pick.
Calvin Johnson. No-brainer.
All right. Yeah, I counter with Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald. Nice call. I'm going to be the quarterback.
The guy catches the ball with his hands every time. Even if he's asleep. Even if he's doing the Riley Cooper hangout and hide in the back of the end zone. The guy is going to catch the ball on his back, upside down, on a trapeze. I don't care where he's at. I mean, him and Calvin are right there.
I'm going to go, you know, just because I'm affected by what I watched today, I'm going to take C.J. Spiller.
C.J. Spiller?
Just because like, the guy is, I don't know, I just enjoy him.
C.J. Spiller.
Anybody watches him, he catches the ball.
I kind of like that move, though. Actually, I'm a little bit thrown off by that because in a flag football, I mean, the amount of spins that guy does.
Pickup game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking – I mean, like, I'm not going to – even as a Seattle guy, I'm not going to take Marshawn Lynch in a flag contact. If it was, like, full contact, I would maybe, like, almost, you know, he's going to get Skittles up.
Thank you. Our PA just brought us a couple of drinks. We've hired a couple of PAs, a couple of interns, by the way.
I'm going to go ahead and go with a counter pick. I think that the Eagles line is just – it's horrific. And I'm going to go with Shady McCoy.
Okay.
So
yeah. Not as quick as Spiller, but
not as quick. But I mean, he's got a lot of moves, and he can go backwards, forwards, and then after that, I got something for you. But you go ahead.
You got something for me after that?
Yeah, you got next pick.
I need a possession guy. I need a guy who can catch them. I'm going to go Victor Cruz over the middle.
We just talked about Victor Cruz.
We did. So that's what I'm going to go with him.
He's the voice of Campbell's Soup right now.
No, kiss of death. Happened to fucking Donovan McNabb.
Ruined his career. Oh, Campbell's and his mom showing up on the field?
It wasn't even his real mom. It's the worst part. You can't even cast your own mom in a commercial. Give me a break.
I know. And it wasn't
Is your mom that bad of an actress? She can't do a Campbell's Soup commercial?
She can't just be your mom in a commercial?
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know how to be your mom.
All right, sorry. So this is kind of a weird one. Kind of a weird one, but like there is four down territory. You do have to punt. I'm going to go ahead and pick up Devin Hester.
Devin Hester?
I just think that guy in flag football. No, in flag football, feel like Devin Hester would.
In what flag football game on Thanksgiving have you ever seen a punt?
No, everything. He could do everything. I think that guy would be amazing at flag football.
Is that a Seattle thing?
You no.
Punt up there?
No, not even punting. Like anything. Whatever that guy wants to do, he can do it. He would be amazing at flag football. How could you get him?
Right,
just pure speed. He'd be fake quarterback sneak. He'd be every single position on the field.
Okay.
He'd be a decoy for everything.
I'm going to go with Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers?
Gale Sayers now.
What do you mean?
Gale Sayers.
Wait a minute. Gale Sayers
Gale
now.
Sayers, Gale Sayers. I can't even say his name. Gale Sayers at 70.
No.
Is elusive.
He's not elusive.
He is. And people would feel bad for him. He's old. You know, they wouldn't want to tackle him. I'm going for the sympathy vote.
Well, you go for the sympathy vote.
You can get Jim Brown. Jim Brown would be pretty good.
You know what I'm going to do? You can have Gale Sayers at 70. I'm going to counter-strike, and I'm going to sub myself out at QB, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Yeah. I just think that guy throws a pretty good ball.
So you're going to relegate yourself to the bench and have, like, no.
No, he doesn't get all the touches.
You just ensure that you will never touch the ball on your own team.
Why?
Because he's never going to throw you the ball.
What are you saying? Why wouldn't he throw me the ball?
Because he's got Larry Fitzgerald. He's got Shady McCoy. Why? I mean, no, you got to be the master of your own domain.
Listen, I'll sub myself out. My boy Chad Grosby one time cut me at halftime until I got a pick, and then I got my job back.
That's
in flag football.
That's how you end a friendship, man.
So I'm trying to win the game. I'm not like you. I don't know if this whole movement around trying to win the game.
No, I'm not trying to win the game. I'm getting old. My days are coming to an end.
All right, you got a couple more picks.
Field.
All right, so you're going to counter with Drew Brees, or what do you got?
No, I'm not drafting a quarterback.
Because you just want the spotlight.
I'm going to take Brandon Marshall.
That's a good pick. I'm kind of jealous of that pick.
It's kind of a newfound religious belief.
I picked Devin Hester over Brandon
Locker Room. Yeah, okay. Randy Moss?
Randy Moss, no. Randy Moss is 47. I don't know if that's his number, but I'm not going to take Gus Frat next. Should I pick up a kicker? Do you have kickers in flag football? Probably not.
Go for it.
No, I think I'm going to take...
I'm not feeling this game.
All right, we're done with this game.
We're done with this game.
I fucking hate this game.
It sounded good when we were shopping in the store.
Yeah, I'm actually mad at this game now.
I just cut everybody I just drafted.
It was a good idea. Maybe closer to Thanksgiving. But I think in theory it was a really good game. But let's go ahead and move on to the NBA. Or I can just start quizzing you.
Let's do the quiz, then we'll bring in Brandon Brooks, and then we'll get back to the football game. And
all right.
More importantly, the LA Galaxy game.
All right, so... this is a trick, not even a trick question, but I want you to tell me.
You're asking me 10 questions.
10 questions. So
I already kind of got one right with the Calvin Murphy question.
Whatever. You didn't get his kids right. He had 14 kids. You said
Johnny,
12.
Joey, Jackie, Jimmy, Johnny.
Is a name, like, I don't know if he remembers them
like
better than
honey.
Cromartie. Cromartie didn't remember his kids. Travis Henry, also
Travis.
A lot of kids. And actually, it's a good tie-in to the whole condom movement with recently voted in California with the whole the porn stars have to wear condoms.
Yeah.
Maybe they should do that with athletes.
During the game, they have to wear condoms?
No, not during the game. Just
during
after the game. Definitely after the game. That's when most of the post-game action
during
happens.
During the game would be real interesting.
That'd be weird.
It would be.
Just because they're just wearing condoms and it's just... It's awkward to know that. I wouldn't want to know that they're like, hey, there's Jake smoking Jay Cutler wearing a condom under his pants. he would wear it under his pants, I would
just
hope.
Just the thought.
All right, so
I'm going to get 7 of these correct.
7?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to take – I dictate the questioning, so I'm going to take
– I really think I'm going to get all of them.
All right. So I'm going to – yeah, you probably will. So I'm going to take the over on you getting 7 questions, right?
That's no fun. You have to bet against me. Then I'll take 8. I'll get rid
of it. All right, take 8, then the under, and then I'll make the questions harder. So What year was the three-pointer born?
In college?
Correct.
In college. It was born in 19... Oh, it was the year Indiana beat Syracuse, I believe.
It's a 19-foot, nine...
Yeah, 19-9.
19-9 chippy.
85 or 88. I'm going to go with 1900 and... 88.
Is that your final answer?
It's my final answer.
Incorrect. 1986, 87. 86. You had a two-year window. You went 85 to 88. You're flirting with it. You're flirting 87. With the line. Yeah. Providence. Providence used the chippy to make it to the Final Four.
Billy Donovan, Rick Pitino coached that team. Delray Brooks.
That's right. Made. The Friars.
Indiana transfer.
Straight from the Friar patch. So that's 0 for 1 for you.
That was the year three Big East teams made the Final Four. Providence, St. John's, and Georgetown.
All right. So moving on, I want you to tell me the initial nickname for Tim Hardaway's crossover move.
The killer crossover.
No. It's based on...
The UTEP two-step.
That's correct. I'll give you that. It was kind of a... I give you two answers there, but the UTEP two-step is correct. And we'll go ahead and move forward with that one. You are 1 for 2, my friend. So... I want you to tell me...
Let me ask you a quick question. Wings. Do you like the drum or do you like the two bones?
Definitely the drum.
I'm a drum guy,
too. Yeah, I grew up playing drums. I don't know if you knew that about me.
Did really?
Yeah. I'm not very good, but I'm good enough to at least play a couple songs.
We have a couple people hanging out, like, watching us be idiots here. Let me go around the room. Did you like the two bones over here, right? Jordan Toppin? Brandon Brooks? Two bones or the drum?
Drummer.
Drummer? Jessica Pagano?
Drum.
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 Two bones.
That means I get them all.
I was going to say, you should eat wings with everybody. You'll get all the wings. All right, sorry. Just curious. I saw wings on the TV.
So I want you... No, it's fine if you like wings. What city were they born out of?
Buffalo?
Yeah. That doesn't go towards your total, by the way.
The Anchor Bar is actually the name of the bar they were born in Buffalo.
That's amazing. Google that's that. Well said.
That's correct.
So Coach K learned a lot when he was coaching the Olympic team. I want you to tell me...
He learned a lot?
Yeah, he learned a lot. And I'm just giving you information now. I'm not even questioning you. I want you to tell me...
Is that the question? Did Coach K learn a lot?
No, that's not the question. I want you to tell me who the U.S. team lost to in 2006. This isn't the Olympics, but this is like the national play, international play. So what team and what did he learn? That's like a bonus. I'll give you an extra point for that.
Well, that was the Stephon Marbury, Allen Iverson team, I believe. And I think they lost to Greece, is what I'm going to go with.
Wow. Is that correct? You got it. That's correct.
That's correct.
Do you know, what did he learn? What did he learn from that?
What did he learn that...
No. What European style of play did he learn from that? This is a total bonus. Like, this isn't even a question.
Just the wide open style, the shooting threes and spreading the floor, backdoor cuts.
No
goaltending.
No, the high ball screen.
So okay.
The Euro League was really into the high ball screen. So, like, you see a lot of it with Barea, Nash, obviously, all these guys. Like, the NBA, basically, he came back and started adopting it for the Duke teams of, like, these big guys just doing the high ball screen.
But in order to do that, you need to have a big man that can shoot. That's why it was so effective for teams like Greece, because then you couldn't just double the ball and leave the guy wide open, you know, fading out for three.
Exactly.
So, you know, it requires...
So that's amazing that you know that. So this is a layup question. What does Marshawn Lynch eat after he makes a touchdown? And he does make them.
I don't know your Seattle questions.
What are you talking about? This is a national story.
Marshawn Lynch is in no way a national story in anything that he does. What does he eat? What does he have, like, little, like, niblets in his pocket?
No, what is he... How does he celebrate his touchdown? This is, like, a huge, like, national brand story last year.
He eats something?
Yes. Just like Novak pees on the sidelines.
He does Marshawn the discount Lynch, double check.
And you want to, like, phone a friend on this? No, he doesn't do the discount
double
check.
I don't think
anybody in here knows this. He goes on the sidelines and he eats something.
He eats...
It's a candy.
Oh, I imagine it's a candy. A Twix bar. I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He eats fucking Skittles, dude.
I don't
Skittles
know.
Shipped him 400 boxes.
Anything that has
He's
to
been
do
eating
with
Skittles
Seattle.
Post-touchdown for his entire career.
I don't... Seattle. I don't know anything about
that's
it.
That's disappointing. That's on you.
People that listen to this all the time know that it's
people know,
Seattle.
people know that he eats Skittles. He goes to the sidelines and he just gobbles them up like a fucking turkey.
He throws a fish over to Pete Carroll. I don't know what he does. Then he puts on a Pearl Jam record and listens to Alice in Chains.
Fine. All right.
In Seattle. Just stump me with Seattle question.
All right. Well, I threw you off a little bit. I thought that was a layup, to be honest. I thought that was an easy one. So what are you now, like 2 for 4? And you get the more complex one?
I got the bonus question about the...
You didn't get the bonus question for the most part. So let's make you 3 and 5.
3 and 5.
You're 3 and 5. So we're going to...
Are you just searching Sports Illustrated for questions?
No, randomly? I'm not. I swear I'm not.
You came very prepared.
I'll give you... How about a really easy one?
I have enough weekly in the bathroom if you want to roll that one.
All right, what basketball player do I look most like when I have a beard? And what do I get during the playoffs every single year? Who do I look the most like? I don't play like him because he's really good. His brother plays for the Lakers.
Marc Gasol.
That's right. All right. That's just like a shameless self-plug there that I look like a Spanish guy that's 6'10", 280 pounds.
I was going to say James Harden.
James Harden?
Yes.
Yeah, you're really caught up on James Harden.
I am. I love James Harden.
So who created the back cut in college?
The back cut?
Yeah.
Like the...
Yeah, like it's branded as such. John Wooden.
Yeah, the UCLA cut.
UCLA back cut.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll give you that
one. Is that
one.
The question?
That's the question. All right. So we're winding down here.
What the UCLA cut is a pass to the wing and you cut off the high post. Correct?
Yeah, I didn't get specific with it. I thought you just would figure it out. I mean, I'm not trying to like say like it was Princeton first. I mean, they had their own little kind of back cut scheme.
They didn't have basketball back then.
All right, so I'm not even going to let you look at this. Who is likely the best player, best center in the NCAA this year?
Who's Cody Zeller.
Cody Zeller. Okay. So how many points do you have right
now? Is he on the cover of SI?
He is, yes. Yeah, I'm using SI as my...
What a goofy picture, man. He's going to look back at that in like 15 years and be like, what the fuck was I doing with my hair?
He's wearing clown pants, too. I mean, like, he seriously looks like he's going to the Santa Monica Pier to shoot for a free stuffed animal.
All right, how many more questions we got?
That's pretty much it. I mean, actually, these are good questions. I want the top 10, they just did this on NFL Network. The top 10 most underrated players in the league of all time. Of all time. And I want you to name 2.
John Taylor.
Don't jump the gun.
Oh, okay. Apologize.
Not John Taylor. I don't think John Taylor was on the list. I didn't catch the first 2 of the list.
Like the lead singer of Duran Duran, John Taylor, not the wide receiver for the 49ers.
Fair enough. But
Duran Duran's a very underrated band.
Fine. That doesn't even count as a real guess.
Download that on
iTunes.
It's
kind of a weird list, but like I just want you to throw out a couple names. You can throw out 4. If you get 2 right, you win.
Jim Plunkett.
Mm-mm.
Mark Gastineau.
Wow, no. The most underrated, like, because these are guys that people know. I mean, Jim Plunkett, people know who he is.
Yeah, but he's Jim Plunkett. When you think of the lexicon some context? Of great quarterbacks,
I'm gonna give you a couple. I'll give you some context, like Dave Craig,
Steve DeBerg,
not on the list.
I have no idea. Like even Ron Jaworski.
All right, so it's kind of a tough list. Yeah. Like Marvin Harrison's on the list.
He was one of the all-time great receivers ever. How's he underrated?
Because he just had a bad personality.
Because he murdered a guy and got away with it?
Yeah, well, there's that.
He literally murdered a guy.
He wouldn't do an interview. He kind of has like a high voice, and he played with the Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Otis Anderson, kind of weird one, right?
For the Patriots, yeah.
No, for the Cardinals.
Oh, when he played with the Cardinals? But he played with the Patriots for a minute, I think.
I'm sure he did. Randall Cunningham on that list.
Oh, this list is egregious. Can't give it any. Randall Cunningham is amazing.
Did you just use the word egregious?
Yeah, who underrates Randall Cunningham? I don't know. The ultimate weapon.
No, Randall Cunningham, that was the thing. Like, he had an arm. People do underrate him because he didn't win anything. What's the one play you remember from Randall Cunningham?
The punt, his 91-yard punt.
That's a good one. And there's one other one.
The one against the Giants where Carl Banks lowballed him.
lowballed him.
He came up and threw it to Keith Jackson, cutting across the end zone for a touchdown.
When he hits him right in the legs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keith Jackson, amazing.
All right, so we'll just call that a draw, win, lose, or draw. Let's go ahead and bring Brandon Brooks in.
Brandon Brooks is in the kitchen right now.
Brandon Brooks.
Making snacks.
Can you find time to join our interview right now? Else we're just going to talk about really cool things to have in a man cave.
Or I could just interview you like you're Brandon Brooks.
Okay. I'll do that.
You want to do that?
Yeah. Well, until he gets here, because I'm not
until in the he
lengthy.
Gets here. I want to welcome Brandon Brooks to the show. We've been
hey, guys.
For a long time.
I'm really tall and athletic and awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
And he brought a
snacks
he
over.
Brought a gift.
Wow. Heated spam. So Brandon's on the show right now. We're going to give him about 7 minutes because we're getting bored.
Yeah.
And the game's on.
The game's on, and he said that he wants to talk about explicitly about the Olympic Village. That was the first thing he said. The
first thing he said was, please let me
he's
talk
like,
about
he's like, bring
the
up the Olympic Village.
Yes.
I'll tell you
That's
everything about it. The ins
about.
And outs, the stripper doors, everything.
We're not going to let him do it, though.
We're not even going to play that game because it's just overhyped. And that's just like a media thing to get you guys to join our podcast.
Why don't we let him talk for a sec?
All right. Welcome, Brandon Brooks.
Hi, guys.
Say
pleasure,
hi to the audience.
Pleasure to be here. Hello to everyone out there.
Believe it or not, people actually listen to this.
Yeah.
I listen to it.
43 people listen to this 40, podcast. 43 guys.
40 of them.
I was
along.
One of those 43.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Listenership.
What would you like to talk about? You said you were going to tell us what you wanted to talk about.
We do a quick profile of him. Do you know him well enough to profile him to say, like, what are his credentials or his pedigree?
I would rather you profile him while I eat the spam
all I know,
that he's made
I think
me.
In, what was it, two, I'm doing the math on the Olympic years, 2000, 2004, 2000. In the year 2000, you won a silver medal for water polo?
That is actually incorrect.
Oh, 2004.
Yeah, 2008.
2008?
Yeah,
wow.
The Beijing Olympics, I was part of the silver medal team.
In 2000, you were
what position? Did
18
you,
years old.
True.
What position did you play on the silver medal team?
I was a goalkeeper.
You're the goalkeeper?
Yes.
Wow, so people might
it's
know you.
The person that stops the ball.
More people might
probably
know.
Probably the only position in water polo that anybody listening is knows.
Yeah, more people might know. I'm actually not even might. More people know you than would ever know us. That's probably a definitive statement that we can all agree on.
That is very kind.
Thanks.
Very kind.
But how many attempts like during the say the final game like to win the silver medal? Actually, probably the game before that.
Yeah, tell me about the gold medal game. Never asked you about that.
The gold medal.
Who'd
game.
You guys play? What happened?
We played Hungary, the three-time defending gold medal champions.
Wow.
They again won gold medal.
What was the score?
I believe it was 14-8.
And were they just like head and shoulders above everybody else, or were they?
They
had
were,
you played them
they
prior
were very,
and had success?
Very good. We had beat them a couple times over, the previous 4 years. But,
so you went in there thinking we're going to win this game.
It comes down to one game. You never know what happens in one game.
But you knew coming in that they were hungry for a game. The fact
wow.
that you guys even the fact that Jay laughed at that a little bit is fucking amazing. Just
know.
Food for thought. Wait, these hungry jokes are endless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was very impressive.
Was the Michael Jordan of water polo on that team?
10 years from now, when you guys are a nationally syndicated radio program, we can look back on that moment as
it's going to take clincher, 10 years.
The linchpin.
I have
your success.
I have some specific questions about water polo, though. Like, one, we know there's a lot going on underneath the water. It's not even suggesting sexual things. But two, is there a fucking halftime? Like, does a water polo coach, is there like a halftime speech that we can talk about?
And like,
what
you're
you
dripping wet. You get out of the pool.
Yeah.
You're
yeah. Do you guys
wet.
All in the hot tub together or something? Like,
I haven't received the win one for the Gipper halftime speech, but there is a halftime.
When is it?
It's 5 minutes. It's
you get 5 minutes. That's it.
Five minutes.
You have to tread water for a day, and you get 5 minutes to rest. It's a cruel sport.
This fucking sucks.
As you can imagine, it's between the second and third quarter.
Oh, it's like hockey. It's like hockey without the ice. It's all melted.
But I think
hockey's
there's a fourth
three
quarter
periods.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, there's four periods.
Oh, there is.
So yeah.
How long is a water polo game?
Yeah, it's
long
eight,
enough.
4 8-minute periods.
Four 8-minute periods. Okay.
Yes.
Wait, so but why don't they do, if there's four periods, why wouldn't they do it after the second period?
They do.
Oh, I thought you said it was between the second. Oh, it's
well,
the
yeah.
second.
There you
I was
go.
Just think, I was assuming it was like hockey for some reason. Because I just pictured ice and water as
just,
the same.
Just like this football game we're watching right now.
Right.
Halftime comes between 2 and 3.
So
it does, but halftime is the same length as a quarter is played.
So there's no.
So why do they shortchange you 3 minutes? They should give you at least 8 minutes. That's just.
You'd have to ask the water bowl gods.
You guys come out like, do you like, so a really quick, tight, concise, succinct, like 2 minute speech from the coach? Then you guys come out and do layups or something? Like, how do you, what do you do? I mean, like,
yeah, you get 5 minutes. Like, what do you do in 5 minutes? You climb out of the pool, that takes probably a minute and a half.
Right.
You're back in the
pool. Helping each other out. Fuck, I'm tired. Yeah. I just did egg beater for 7 hours. Like, guys were grabbing my nuts.
Basically, just rest. Rest, yeah. grab a drink of water, and get
like
back in there.
Orange slices, sun-kissed? What do you got? Yes, Capri Suns?
Purple juice? Jamarcus Russell in there?
He's
too tired
down
to play that sport.
The moms
come down. All the moms come down, and they pat us on the head, and they give us orange slices, and then tell us we're great. All
right, so in your sport, you wear, obviously, a Speedo.
Is this where this is going?
No.
Not in Speedo. But
no,
like,
tell us something that
bench,
no one...
When you're on the bench, you've never been on the bench.
Let's learn something that we don't know about the sport.
Because I don't know anything about it. This is entertaining.
So Brandon would
know
the things that we don't know.
That's what I'm asking. When you're on the bench, what are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
You're wearing a robe. I love that sport.
Yeah, you're wearing Speedo and a robe.
I would never want to get into a game. I just want to hang in my robe and like look at.
Would you ever wear a robe?
Very luxurious.
Would you that you stole from like a hotel like Starwood or something? That'd be awkward, right? You're like, oh, where'd you get that? Starwood Hotels? W?
I think it's a nicer robe. I've seen a couple of these robes. They're very nice.
All right, so we just want, Brandon, just anything that you want to talk about aside. I know we want to get to how to set a good ball screen in basketball, but, like, what's the one thing that no one knows about water polo?
I think that something that anyone should appreciate about water polo is that it's maybe the best team sport out there.
Okay, in what regard?
In pretty much any other sport, you can have one guy, maybe two guys, like really take over a game.
Okay.
If you have one person that's not pulling their weight in a water polo game, the whole team will really struggle.
You're only as strong as your weakest link.
How many guys?
Very much so.
How many guys in the pool at one time? Is it 8-on-8 or what is it?
6 field players and 1 goalie.
Okay.
So 7 per side.
So percentage of team wise, so one guy, kind of like basketball, can really kill you.
Yeah.
And if that guy sucks, is it because it's like his ball handling skills or because his like conditioning or what makes that guy like the weak link that really kills your team?
I could ask water polo questions all day.
I know, man.
So
I mean,
that would,
do you guys wear water wings though when you're practicing just to like keep yourselves like, you know, like so you're not exhausted after practice?
Floaties?
That would probably make you the weak link. You'd probably be that one
guy. The guy would do
that.
That's
exactly the guy in the floaties.
Yeah, the guy wore the floaties.
He can't swim.
I mean, it's like Allen Iverson with body armor, though. Like, you see the guy with the floaties, you know to go after him, you know? It's like, that guy cannot stay afloat, literally. There's so many parallels.
Between that and basketball. I mean,
it's very similar to basketball.
Yeah.
But, like, is there a certain position where if some guy sucks, it kills you? Or, I mean, obviously the goalie is important, like hockey. And
a hot goalie, like in the playoffs in hockey, you can get to the stuff.
Right,
and
you're just fucking batting balls down. Do you try to gobble them up, or do you bat? You want to eat them, right?
You want to knock them down.
You want to knock them down?
You don't catch them raw dog.
No.
Boom.
Raw dog. What is he pulling his pants down when he catches them? It's like, you guys wear boxers underneath your Speedos? Like, that would be sweet. That probably slows you down a bit.
Like guys wearing shirts under their jerseys in basketball.
Right.
Have shorts on.
Exactly. They get out of the pool. It's like, oh shit, man. That guy went to Abercrombie & Fitch and got some nice boxers.
2-point line. Is there a 2-point line? Can you, if you make a shot from far
there
away?
There was?
Briefly in college, there was between, I want to say like 1996 and 1999, there was a 2-point line.
The purest.
7 meters.
What happened?
They
killed it?
Yeah.
Did people make a lot from there? I imagine it's very hard to score. It didn't make
it too often, but it was probably worth too much. Exactly, yeah. So if it was maybe
it's
more
like
3-2, then...
You know what? And by the way, we need to bring this up with pickup basketball.
Real quick, making a 3 in basketball is not that difficult. Making a 2-point shot from 7 meters out... It's exponentially
difficult.
Hard.
Right,
I mean,
but like
I deserve those points.
But guess what? When you play pickup basketball and you got guys that want to play 2s and 1s, right? And
awful.
You have to explain to the guys.
Although I love it.
Well, I'm sure you love it because you're a 3-point shooter. But like, I mean.
Used to be. I don't play basketball anymore.
That's fine. Swan song for Jay. We get it. The point is that when guys don't understand why, like, you don't do twos and threes or just all ones because of the math of it. It's like, oh, in regular, wow. Oh, is that Arian Foster who I started again?
Returning kicks.
Oh, never mind. Penalty, but, of course. But you know that in pickup basketball when guys don't understand, like, twos, oh, taking a TV timeout.
Taking a TV timeout.
Brandon's coming back. He's going to think about what he said and reflect on it.
Spam. That spam, by the way, was absolutely delicious.
I know. He's Hawaiian. He loves spam. I mean, it was in that movie that we talked about earlier.
What do we have, 40 minutes? All right, we'll,
we're at 40 minutes.
We'll bring B back.
By the way, I'm going to do a spoil. I'm going to do a little
spoil.
Bit of...
Spoil away.
Spoil on what, though? Like programming. I know we talked about programming before.
Do you have an IT report? Do you have anything from Irene's or the IT?
I do. I do have an IT report. It's I can give you guys an abridged version.
Chuck, your hair is awesome right now.
Thank you. I've been working on it all week. I've been growing it out for Movember. If you guys haven't signed up for Movember, definitely. That was actually supposed to be our sponsor, Movember Foundation. I'm growing my hair out. I have a beard meets mustache. Basically, it's to drive awareness of prostate cancer in men. So go get your balls checked and grow a mustache. And you guys can donate to me. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page.
Donate to you?
Well, I mean, to the foundation. Oh. I mean, I have a profile. Then you can – I get credit for the amount of donations that I get. So big on that. First time I've ever done it. I don't want a mustache, but I'm doing it for the cause.
So, I respect people that actually look good with a mustache, actually.
Well, like, it's hard to do. Nick Offerman? Amazing mustache.
Tom Selleck, all time.
Yeah.
Mustache Hall of Fame, go.
Mustache
Hall of Fame. Magnum P.I.
Oh, man.
Tough. Raleigh Fingers with the handlebar mustache. Incredible.
Crockett and Tubbs? They're probably too clean shaven.
Yeah, they were clean. Well, they weren't clean shaven.
Oh, no, no. The guy from either from Little House on the Prairie or the oatmeal commercials. Who's that fucking big guy?
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. Either him or Andy Reid. I get those two guys
Andy
confused.
Andy Reid's mustache is horrendous.
Right.
Because it's just horrendous.
I get those guys confused.
He's musty as well.
Like, if you just put Brimley on the sidelines and said, like, let's do 80 passes and 20 runs, I would relieve you. I'd be like, oh, Wilford Brimley is actually coaching the Eagles. And by the way, we tweeted out earlier about the Eagles and their amazing backup quarterbacks. Which basically means it's a system. Michael Vick goes out. What we get concussed for the 18th time?
Doesn't matter who. I've said it for years and years. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is for the Eagles. He's a must-have.
Always, the backup
because they're going to throw it for sure.
Yeah. If you have Michael Vick, shame on you. Like, I mean, you've gotten burned by him before. He's never going to make it through a season.
Let's do 2 minutes on the election until Brandon.
Yeah,
gets
the
back
election. Let's talk about the betting. That went
the
on
gambling. So after the first debate, when Obama looked half asleep and was slurring his words.
So did you fully watch the debate?
I didn't.
You didn't? No. So you're just talking third person view.
Well, the gambling wise, I mean, his odds went down to 2-1. So you were betting 100 or betting 200 to win 100.
Okay.
And then as recently
is that the max bet, or can you bet whatever?
You can bet whatever you want. You can bet $1 million to win 500,000. But 4 days before the election, it went back up to 3-1, which was basically telling everybody that he was a stone cold lock because Vegas knows more than everybody about everything.
Right.
So, you know, you could have got some good odds on Obama and stolen some easy money in the gambling world.
That's fine. And I just have one thing I have to get off my chest, and this is about sneezing. Okay. This has nothing to do with sports. Jay actually didn't want to even talk about sports this week. If you half sneeze or hold it back, I'm not going to God bless you.
Why?
Because you just need to own it. You need to fucking really sneeze. Like I don't definitely if you're at a Subway or something, you're creeping over and you're like trying to get your like tuna foot long. Like, don't sneeze all over the fucking thing. Like, just turn away, walk away. Like, do a 360 or 180 and walk away and sneeze fully. But if you like and do that weird hold back thing,
you feel bad for those people?
I don't feel bad for them. I'm not gonna Tebow you.
Are you
I'm not gonna God bless you.
Are you angry at them?
Yeah. It's like, it just makes me feel like you're self-conscious about the sneeze. Like, just either fully own the sneeze or don't own the sneeze. Like, I don't know, walk away. You're not in that on
you
that?
Could not God bless them.
I don't
do it. You could say I not God bless you.
That's super aggressive.
Yeah.
To say, because well, then I make them feel really bad. Obviously, they feel bad about sneezing, and I get that. But I fully sneeze if I'm going to sneeze. Let it out. What are you hiding? You had to sneeze.
Everybody's hiding something.
But do you disagree with this? Does someone a half sneeze? Do they get God bless?
Brandon, how do you feel about that? Would you God bless a half sneezer?
I don't see any reason not to God bless anyone, you know? I mean, what are you going to lose?
But now you're just giving out God bless yous? You're just giving out God bless yous.
You know, just be positive.
You're rolling through the Olympic Village, and there's like a West German. Yeah, I just dated myself back to 1985.
West German. So they're called back then? Yeah. Fucking hammer and sickle days?
Yeah, you know.
A West German was rolling by.
They half sneeze.
Yeah.
Brandon Brooks is throwing him a God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
As
you know?
An American.
Well, have a good day.
I'm not as nice as Brandon Brooks, apparently. I just keep saying his name until someone actually like cares.
Brandon wants to talk about basketball here for a couple minutes before we wrap.
Let's talk about the high
screen roll. Is that what you have to do?
Or just picks in general. How to just set a good pick. And by the way, I am great at setting picks. So don't like this.
This is
one area I know extremely well. I have several different routes I run to get to a pick. And I'm serious. I run routes to get
the
picks.
I respect that.
All right. So what's
the conch is yours?
Okay. Well, then this is a legitimate gripe I have. You know, and I think this might even belong in the old man rant section.
Is that old man rant. This could be the old man rant of the week.
This is my
Brandon Brooks
old man basketball rant.
Yeah. Tomahawk dunk it on your face, just so you guys know.
Yes.
He's a beast.
I just have trouble, and I don't understand, especially when I watch a lot of college basketball, why guys don't want to and enjoy, you know, not only do it, but are enthusiastic about setting a really good pick.
Yeah, totally.
Because when you do that, someone's wide open. Instead,
right.
Instead, everyone wants to slip it, and everyone wants to, like, fade out for their jump shot. Everyone wants to, like, avoid the contact.
Oh, I hate that.
Well,
when a shooter does a fake pick so they can get a shot to get a double.
I agree with everything you're saying about the pick. But when you say people want to slip things and fade things, now you're talking on a level of people actually understand to do those things. And I don't think...
But
we were talking...
But you still have to set a good pick, though. Like,
you
mean it.
Real,
you can't fake pick.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Brandon's point is that people don't understand the simple nuances of basketball anymore. It's just up and down,
right.
Shoot threes, or make a layup.
Right.
You know, it's one-on-one. They don't understand how to make a play off a play off a play. Karl Malone and John Stockton made a living off making the simplest basketball move of all time. Right?
I mean, agree with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons that Karl Malone's one of the leading scorers in history is because he set a really good pick.
Yeah.
Right? And
he could make a mid-range jump shot.
Right. But so, you know, a lot of times I think what you're saying is correct, but it comes down to a lot of people are either maybe A, afraid of the contact, or B, selfish, that they don't want to set the pick to get someone else open. Right, and now you get the point guard open 2-3 times in a row, and now they got a switch, and now you're open.
I actually think a lot of it comes down to C. I think those first two factors are there.
C, huh?
C, right? Mm-hmm. It's the third.
C, rarely a chosen option.
C is the option of, like, I don't understand spacing well enough. So, like, I'll give you an idea. Like, most of the time, like.
Today's program brought to you by the letter C.
Exactly. So I'll give
my
you this, and this is like something that maybe like you guys would get because you guys are shooters and scorers, and I'm not. But like, what I do when I set a pick is I will run down the court full speed, and I used to do this with my buddy Chad, who was like a great mid-range jump shooter. And I would inbounds the ball after like a make or whatever, and he's the point guard. I'd be like, dribble up left side, and we'd do this all the time. And he would dribble up left side, and I'd be like, you know, screen high pick right on the free throw line. He just loved like that 18 footer. And I was like, and so I would literally run down the court to the right end of the block, full speed,
mm-hmm.
and then go, then come back full speed. So by the time that I was
like developing play.
Right. So I'm like running full
yeah.
speed. So it's a lot of work mm-hmm. to do this. So I'm running full speed down like I'm going to do something when I know that I'm not.
That's the point. A lot
and
of people aren't willing to put in the work.
Right. So I'm
like
going in.
Like
all
yeah,
the way into the baseline,
yeah.
and I'm coming back out hard, and I'm going right to where I know he wants to be to shoot it, and I'm anchoring myself, and he's shooting right off
anchoring,
my shoulder.
I like that.
Yeah, right off my shoulder. Like if we're playing pickup basketball, a game, league, whatever, he's shooting right off my shoulder, and he knows exactly what's. If they just double, triple team it, and they know he's a shooter already, it's the end of the game. I'm rolling. I'm going right to the basket. And
that's
I'm
why
going
I always
hard.
Like playing basketball with you because you go to bed at night, and when you think of basketball, you don't dream of yourself making shots.
No,
I
don't.
You think of yourself setting picks for
people. No, I will spin and I'll spin I'll do a 720 just to confuse the guy. Run out of bounds for 4 seconds. Lay down like Bradley or whatever, Riley Cooper, and like bark like a dog, and then I'll get up and I'll set a ball pick off a guy like that's just a 3-point shooter because we need 3 for the win. Like you have to have someone so passionate about it where you have to like the guys that like that slowly creep up and then just basically are bringing their defender over to you. Those guys annoy me more than fucking anybody in the world. You've seen those guys, right? Like, yeah. I'm coming over. They might as well sing a song. I'm coming over to set a pick for you, slowly and surely. Like, that doesn't work, you know? And the last final point about picks setting in basketball, it's illegal in football, right? It's legal in basketball, but it's illegal to set a pick in football. So why wouldn't you do that every single time?
Jay Cutler out of the game, by the way. I apologize for interjecting.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's wrap this up with Brandon Brooks. Tell us your greatest sports moment of your life.
Yeah.
Think about your entire
on the stand, football, on the podium,
water polo. No, it's not going to be
why?
It.
Why? Why wouldn't that be it?
No,
it's this fucking silver medal.
No, because my greatest sports moment of all time was baseball. I got a hit in a championship. I don't play baseball. I just lucked out being on a team that was all right, good.
Fair enough.
It's usually something that doesn't mean. Yeah.
I think, you know, I thought that was going to actually be a pretty tough one when you guys asked it, but I think it's actually very easy for me.
Great.
It was the first, the moment I heard the national anthem, the first game of my first Olympics, standing up there with the USA cap on, representing your country as one of 13 guys.
Tear? You know,
yeah,
tears.
Pretty close
tears.
To it.
Yeah.
Welled up.
Yeah. Old Yeller.
I don't even think we can, after that, we have nothing to say. That's.
No, we have to end with that. Know. We have to all cry ourselves to sleep.
Can you queue up
that.
The national anthem on the computer? Can we end with, like,
let's do the Roseanne Barr version? Did you vote for her? No.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah, 35,000 people did. FYI.
Oh, in California.
She was on the ballot. No, honestly, though, so, like, it was the national anthem. At the first Olympics, were you at the 2004 one or no?
2004 and 2008, yeah.
Okay, so
Greece and China, correct?
Correct.
So 2004 was when that was the moment though.
Yeah.
When it was all happening, you're like, holy shit.
I fucking made it.
Yeah,
this is the pinnacle
the silver,
of like,
if you think about it, like the choke me out, EFC style. No, but like to think about, like you made the Olympics and you're on the team, like that's such a huge accomplishment. Like the silver, fucking hey, seriously,
silver.
I quit. Silver.
I said David Silver.
So yeah, exactly, David Silver from 90210, my favorite show.
All right,
let's wrap it up.
Thank you guys very much.
We have a game to watch.
Yes.
Brandon, honestly, awesome. Thank you. You're the man. We love you.
God
good
bless.
Night and good luck, everyone.